All righty, find your notes, please, called Helping the Discouraged and Discontent. And with our notes in front of us, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we're at a time of the day when many of us would begin to flag a little bit physically or mentally. We'd ask that you'd give us physical stamina and mental focus. Help us to give very careful attention to this, what the scriptures say on this important matter. Help me to teach in a way that's engaging and that makes it easy for them to listen. And I pray that as a result of this, those of us who struggle with discouragement and discontentment would find answers for our own hearts and lives, but that all of us would find ourselves strengthened in our ministry toolbox for your honor and glory. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, our subject is helping the discouraged and discontent. And by way of introduction, let's try to answer the question, what is discouragement and discontentment? In other words, what are we talking about in this session? Well, first of all, it means to deprive of confidence, hope, or spirit. It means to dishearten or daunt. The Latin root means a lack of courage. So if you just think about the word discourage, I mean, you take away the prefix, dis, I mean, it means courage. So discouragement is basically just a lack of courage and confidence to move forward. Howard Dyell, writing in the journal Pastoral Practice some years ago, wrote, "Discouragement is sin because it is a failure to live by faith. It is an unwillingness to view one's circumstances from the divine perspective. Basically, discouragement is a sinful state of mind which fails to biblically adjust to disappointment. Its symptoms are those of depression, downness, and a tendency to retreat and become occupied with inconsequential things." J. Dwight Pentecost said, "Discouragement is principally self-occupation." And if you are one who grapples with that matter on a somewhat frequent basis, like I have in the past, I mean, each of those paragraphs, you find yourself saying, ouch, ouch, ouch. Yeah. Look at point D. The Greek noun for contentment refers to satisfaction, that is, a sense of sufficiency. To be enough for a thing. Scripture speaks of being content with wages, Luke 3:14, being content with food and covering, 1 Timothy 6:8, and with such things as you have, Hebrews 13:5. Discontentment, then, is marked by a lack of satisfaction and a sense of inadequacy. Point E, I think the significance of contentment is seen in 1 Timothy 6:6, which says, "But godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment." It's interesting how the scriptures put those together. So that's what we're talking about. It's a lack of courage, a lack of satisfaction, a lack of feeling like enough for life and the task at hand. Well, what contributed to some biblical characters struggling with discouragement? I want to just mention five. One is Moses, and what seemed to get to him was just grumbling people. And this one of the ones that are here is the one that has impacted me the most. Let me just read for you Numbers 11. In my own Bible reading for this year, again, I'm going through a Genesis and then Exodus. And just in the reading about Moses, I just, again, am stunned at the wonderful leadership abilities that this man had. And of all the Old Testament characters, the one from the standpoint of leadership that I just look up to and love reading his life and thinking about what he went through, it's Moses. Numbers 11 is an interesting passage. I mean, just after you think about all that happened with the miracles, the judgment that came on Egypt and leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, I mean, just any of those events, I mean, it was so just over the top, unbelievable. And then how he led the people out, and then the crossing of the river where the Egyptians were killed, just so much. And yet it was, as I read the life of Moses, I'm just struck by how quickly people can turn on this leader. And one of the passages that has really kind of just stood out to me with Moses, this gifted leader, and how he struggled with discouragement, is Numbers 11. And if you would, let me just read for you 15 verses. And just think about it. Okay, here's one of the greatest leaders of the followers of the God of the Bible. And just notice what's happening in his life. Numbers 11, verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord was kindled among them and consumed some of the on the outskirts of the camp. The people, therefore, cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between the millstone, or beat it on the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at his doorway in his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why hast thou been so hard on thy servant? And why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth, that thou shouldest say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which thou didst swear to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone am not able to carry all this people, because it is too burdensome for me. So if thou art going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once. And if I have found favor in thy sight, do not let me see my wretchedness." Now there's a discouraged leader. And what got him was just the grumbling, griping, belly aching of the people. And many of you in spiritual leadership maybe can identify with just the weight of that. And I just would say to you, with some of our counselees, that's something that we need to be sensitive to. Many of our counselees live with critical spouses, or they're working at places where they're continually criticized and there's very little uplifting communication and so forth. And some come from church ministries where there's a lot of discord. With Elijah, as I've studied his situation after defeating the prophets of Baal, when we get to heaven someday, if we get the turn in request for things we want to see on the IMAX of heaven, what I want to see is Elijah with the prophets of Baal. Right? What a deal. Go back and read that one. And here's this guy that stood so strong against 600 prophets of Baal plus others. Just the courage, the backbone, the confidence that this guy had. And yet after God had shown himself great, and then they had killed the 600 prophets of Baal, that had to be a deal. And then him running, and then finding out that Jezebel's still threatening him. Remember how he got so discouraged? I think as I studied that passage, what really got him was the fact that the situation appeared hopeless. It's like, you gotta be kidding. 600 prophets of Baal have been killed. God sent down fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice with all the water that had been put on it. What do you want? What's it going to take to